I don't know if I've ever told you in the 18 years I've been here, my great fisherman story. I was a chaplain for a Boy Scout camp. I was their medical officer for emergency first aid, and all the staff personnel had divided up among us the merit badges, and I got fishing. I was the fishing merit badge instructor, and I hadn't been fishing since the third grade. So we have some time of training before about 350 boys a week. For the whole week, they come to camp. And in one of the weeks, I was having the kids cast their rods and doing things like that. And this particular week, this boy and I caught the biggest cutthroat. Do you know what cutthroat is? It's a fish. And anyway, it was about this long. It was really thick. And man, we were excited. But we weren't so proud how we caught it. You see, the pole came apart when the scout was bringing it in, right? And so here the pole comes apart and the fish is right there in the water. And so we jump in on the other side, turn around and go, whew. And the fish landed on dry ground and we caught the fish when they're great. So my sermon today about being fishers of men is not because I am an expert fisherman. That's out the window. But I find this text interesting. Even after all these years of reading the Gospels and preaching on the Gospels, I find this one interesting. So look at your bulletin and follow along here. St. Luke. He's a physician. He's a detail kind of guy. And in the first sentence, it's really interesting that the people are pressing in on Jesus, and it tells you why. To hear the word of God. Out of all the times they pressed in for miracles, for healing, for casting out demons, Jesus says, recently, within the last year, you had the wedding at Cana. The water was changed into wine. Peter was there. He got to see that and hear about it firsthand. And so it's been a little bit. And now you have this, you have some miracles that take place before this, and now he's outside of town. He's at the Sea of Galilee, which is another name for the Lake Gennesaret. And what happens is he's got all these people around him, and he decides to just give a little bit of space, and he gets in a boat, and he sits down in the boat, and from there, he preaches. It's a teaching message, a preaching message. First thing I notice, there's no sermon. Luke does not tell you what Jesus said. You have Sermon on the Mount, you have Sermon of the Plain, you have other times where you get a short piece of the sermon or the message or the teaching, but here there's nothing. It's just a sentence. When you look at that, did you see? You notice this right away, right? It says, to hear the word of God, and then it tells you he was standing by the lake, and then he says he sees the boat, and he tells you what the fishermen had done. They were washing nets. If you go fishing, you know that means it's at the end of the work shift, and they're cleaning up and getting ready for the next shift, when they would fish again. And so they're washing their nets, they're taking care of their tools, and here you have, he gets into the boat, and he sat down in verse 4, and when he had finished speaking, wait a minute, what did he say? Why would you leave out the message? So then you say, okay, the message isn't there, so what's happening? What takes place? You follow the text. He tells Simon Peter, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. What Jesus said to the crowd was vital for the people that were listening. And the people wanted to hear. That's why they were there. They gathered. They wanted to hear the message. And it is because of that message that when Jesus turns around and says to Peter, take the boat out a ways, even though Peter tells him what we've done, he kind of rehashes what happened. We fished all night and didn't catch anything. But look at that next line. But at your word, I will let down the nets. Do you give in that easy? You're so nice. You probably do, right? You know, you've worked hard. You didn't get there. You may be frustrated. And then someone tells you to try it a different way. And you smile pretty. You, okay, just because you said so, I will do it this way. Wives don't even get that nice. Children and parents don't act that nice. Not after failures. But because the word made flesh is in the boat, Peter follows the instructions. And so they throw the nets out, and you know the narrative. The nets are about busting at the seams, if you will. They get so many fish, they have to have help. And before even this catch is brought in, dealt with, processed the way they do fish in those days, Peter kneels in the middle of a boat full of fish, and he tells the Lord Jesus that he's not worthy. You see that there? And so Peter saw it. He fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. The words that Jesus had been speaking and the fact that Peter had seen Jesus before and Andrew, Peter's brother, had told him about Jesus of Nazareth. And so Jesus was not a complete stranger. This was not a total thing out of the blue. But this was another time where Jesus spent with his Peter and his brother and his business partners, James and John. And this is a time when Peter recognizes this is the Holy One of God. And instead of keeping his place as if, well, this is my boat, you know, I can sit where I want. Or this is my boat, I don't have to kneel to you. Instead, this is the Lord. And he kneels. And in that sense, he shows worship and respect and honor. And he confesses, I am a sinful man. The words at the end of that segment, Jesus says to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men. Are like the words of forgiveness or the words of absolution. You confess your sins, and whoever happens to be standing here, you know, says, okay, you messy people, get out of here. You know, you're not fit. That doesn't sound right, does it? And nor do we add, you know, the psychology of the day. Oh, you're okay and I'm okay. In other words, we do not switch what's on the hook. In humanity, we find all kinds of things, like, and we consider them good morsels, things to chew on mentally and think about, things to contemplate, things to eat, things to fill our stomach, and we call them excellent and superior and wonderful and mighty and powerful, and they fill up your senses, but they do nothing for the soul. They do not cast out fear, and they do not grant peace. They do not forgive your sins. Jesus didn't change what was being offered. He didn't change the message. Instead, he told them what the message really meant. It meant, from now on, you may serve me. You will be catching men, fishers of men. From now on, you will proclaim the same word that I have given, the same word who I am, the same message of salvation. From now on, you will be proclaiming the gospel. From now on, you will be teaching people the law and what the law is about, and it will not fit what humans think the law is all about. Jesus had to do that many times. Remember how he said, "You have heard it said of old, but I say to you." In other words, you have heard it interpreted and applied this way, but I tell you the truth. This is what the Word of God is all about. There isn't the need at this point and at this time in the Gospel of Luke to have the sermon written. What you have is the sermon is lived. It is physically lived out in Jesus Christ. It is physically present in the forgiveness that he bestows Peter and the restoring of him. It is the message of being called to serve the Lord. And the Lord calls many, and not everybody serves in the same way. Later on in the New Testament, some are called apostles, some are evangelists, some are this. There's a whole list of ways in which we serve as God's people, as God's children. But the call is from the same source. It's the one who was in the boat. The one who looks at us when we say, "Oh, I can't do that. You know, I'm a mess. I'm a sinner. I don't know how." Moses in the Old Testament, remember? I can't talk. I give you Aaron. Sometimes I wondered if Moses went, "That's Aaron." You know? He was hoping to get out of serving. Have you ever wanted to get out of serving? You don't raise your hand. You know? God calls us through the living message, the living word, Jesus Christ, to be with him in the journey, in the mission of the church, which are, the church is the people of God. And God calls us and he equips us. And he equips us because in this text we found out Peter did it his way and it didn't work. But when he followed the Lord's instructions, it worked. And that's the way it is with us, in our parenting, in our marriages, in the workplace. How do we deal with life and the things of the world and the challenges? Well, when we insist on doing it our way, we often end up a mess. But when we follow the Lord's way, we find that the world may not accept it. But at the same time, God is glorified. For that's the way he wants us to live. We didn't need a sermon from the boat. We have a sermon in the boat. For Jesus who called Peter is Jesus who calls you to be his people, to be part of his kingdom, and to be on a mission where we share the gospel. And don't switch it out for chicken soup just because it tastes great. but offer people around you the gospel. That God loves them, that God cares for them, that God sent the Son to die for them. And they may sniff, and they may wrinkle their nose, and they may kind of look and furrow their brows, and they're not sure. But you let God do that. To change their heart and their mind, so that they too join you and I and many other Christians when we press in, like even in worship, to hear the word of the Lord. To hear the words of forgiveness and hope and peace. To hear the promises of God. To hear that you and I are restored through the cross and the empty tomb. And you and I have life. Life now and life forever. In Jesus' name, amen.